ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பிஃபோர் வி ஸ்டார்ட் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சீரீஸ் ஆஃப் வெபினார் டிஸ்கஷன்ஸ் ஆன் ஈசாவாசிய உபனிஷத், ஐ ஆஃபர் மை சாஷ்டாங்க நமஸ்காரம்ஸ் at the lotus feet of the Jagadguru, my Guru Shri Shri Bharati Tirtha Mahaswamiji of Shri Sharada Peetam Sringeri, and to the Paramacharya of Kanji Kamakoti Peetam, Swami Chinmayananda, Swami Dayananda, and Swami Paramarthananda, whose lectures are the primary source of the information that I convey. Before we go into the text of Isavasya Upanishad, I would like to share some general ideas about the term Upanishad itself, since several of you are new to these webinars. Some of them we covered long ago when I did the Taittiriya Upanishad in the Sikshavalli portion, but that is not available in the webinar. So I would like to recapture some of those thoughts here. The word Upanishad has got two meanings. One is the primary meaning and the other one is the secondary meaning. And the primary meaning is Brahma Vidya or self-knowledge, which is in the form of Antakarana Vritti. Antakarana means inner equipment, mind, intellect, they are all inner equipments. So in the form of thoughts in the mind, Vritti is thought, otherwise known as Vritti Jnana. So the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is self-knowledge, which takes place in the mind in the form of Antakarana Vritti as a result of pursuit of knowledge. So Upanishad is an internal mental phenomenon or Brahma Vidya. So this self-knowledge or Brahma Vidya is called by the name Upanishad based on its twofold functions, which is indicated in the very name itself. The word Upanishad is split into two portions to reveal these two functions. And the first portion is that it is Upani that reveals the first function of the knowledge. And the second portion is Shat, which reveals the second portion of the knowledge. Upani means that which joins together or combines together. Upanayati iti Upanishad, joiner, combiner. And the self-knowledge is called Upani because of its function combining two things. Which two things are combined, are united or merged? The answer is Jivatma and Paramatma combiner. So Upanishad, Upani is the combiner of these two, Jivatma and Paramatma. So self-knowledge is called Upani because it joins together the Jivatma and Paramatma. And the next question is, how can knowledge combine anything? Because any combination can happen only through an action. How can a knowledge combine two things will be the next question. For example, can a mere knowledge of the ingredients of coffee, namely sugar, milk, coffee powder, can they give a coffee? Only by an action or a process we can get coffee. Then how can a knowledge be a combiner of two things? For that, the Vedantin says, knowledge can combine because the separation or distinction or division between Jivatma and Paramatma is only notional. It's a misconception. It is not real. It's born out of ignorance, ajnana janyam. So how do you remove a notional division? Only by dropping the notion. And any notion born out of ignorance can be dropped by dropping ignorance. So division is dropped by dropping the notion. Notion is dropped by dropping ignorance. And ignorance is dropped by dropping what? It is by gaining knowledge. So ignorance is dropped by gaining knowledge. So once the notion of division is gone, then removal of this notion is called combining or uniting Jivatma and Paramatma. So Brahma Vidya kim karoti upanayati, kam upanayati Jivatmanam upanayati, and kam prati upanayati Paramatmanam prati upanayati, tasmat upani shabdaha shabdavakya Brahma Vidya. That is how we derive the meaning Brahma Vidya by the term upani. And this is the first function of knowledge indicated by the term upani. And the second function of knowledge is indicated by the word shat. What is that? Avasadayati iti shat, which reveals the function of destruction or termination. Destruction of what? Not Jivatma or Paramatma, but destruction of samsara, which was caused by the separation of Jivatma and Paramatma. So samsara was caused by separation, Jivatma Paramatma Vyavadhanam. And when distance is removed, the distance caused samsara also is removed. So samsaram avasadayati iti shat. This is the second function. One is combination of Jivatma and Paramatma, indicated by the term upani, and the other is termination of or destruction of samsara, indicated by sat. So upani, upani cha asau, sat cha upanishat. That is how it should be derived. And this definition is beautifully brought out in one shloka, which says, upaniye mamatmanam kritva apasad dvayam punaha nihantya vidyam tat jam cha tasmat upanishan matha. So upaniye mamatmanam imam jivatmanam apastat dvayam brahma upaniya. So avidyam tat jam samsaram cha nashayati iti upanishat matha. So that is how we understand. It destroys samsara. So the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma Vidya, which is called Yaugika Artha, a meaning derived from the component parts of a word. Then if Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, the Upanishad can only exist where? In the mind. So Vidyayaha Vritti Rupatvat Vrittehe Manasatvat Manasaha Antaratvat Vidyayaha Antaryam Vaktavyam. Brahma Vidya is in the form of thoughts, Vritti Rupam, and the thoughts belong to mind. Mind is inside Antakaranam, and therefore Brahma Vidya has to be inside the person. Whereas the textbook that we use is outside only. For example, the Upanishad textbook, whatever we have, these books, they are all outside only. So if Brahma Vidya is antaram, how can the textbook be called Upanishad also? We say lakshanaya. If Brahma Vidya is a vidya, it can be called prama. Another term I am using here, prama. And prama is always born through an instrument called pramanam. So Upanishad prama, instead of the word vidya, Upanishad vidya, instead of saying, we are saying Upanishad prama, must be born out of some pramanam. And what is that pramanam? Shabdatmaka grantha rupam, grantha pramanam. So the Upanishad grantha, the textbook, which is sabdatmakam in the form of words and sentences, that pramanam is what? Prama janakam. That produces Brahma, that Vidya, that knowledge. So the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is Brahma. But Lakshanaya, the Prama Janake Pramane Api Lakshanaya Upanishad Sabdaha Upayujyate. So that is how they define it. So the Prama, the knowledge, the book gives that knowledge. That is a Pramanam. And through that, one is able to understand. So, primary meaning is Prama and the secondary meaning is Pramanam. And when we look at the textbook, it is Pramanatmaka Upanishad.
and out of study, what happens inside is prama, the brahma vidya. So mukhyarthaha prama, lakshyarthaha pramanam granthaha. So that is the implied meaning. Lakshyarthaha is the implied meaning. So Isavasya Upanishad, then we say, do we refer to prama or pramanam? Then we call the Upanishad by the name Upanishad. Is it prama or pramanam? When we are going to learn the text of Isavasya Upanishad, we should take the meaning of pramanam alone. Not the vidya, but pramanam. So this text is called Isavasyam because the Upanishad begins with the word Isavasyam, like Kenopanishad, because it begins with Keneshitam Patati. So that's what, so it starts with the word Kena, so that is called Kenopanishad, but it is not the general rule. When you take Mundaka Upanishad, it is supposed to be learned after Mundaka Vratam. There is a particular austerity a person has to go through before you learn that Mundaka. Then is Katopanishad called because it is Kataka Vratam? There is no such general rule at all. It is because of Kataka Rishi. So it is because of him. So each Upanishad is named because of a particular reason. And here it is because it begins with the word Isavasya Upanishad. Isavasyam. For example, Sikshavalli in Taittiriya Upanishad, it starts with the word Siksha. So sometimes Isopanishad, it's also called Isopanishad also. Instead of Isavasya Upanishad, it is also called Isopanishad. So this Upanishad is supposed to belong to the Shukla Yajurveda. Yajurveda itself has got two components. One is called the Shukla Yajurveda and the other one is called Krishna Yajurveda. Shukla Yajurveda is mostly popular in common in North India, in Maharashtra, in Banaras and other places. Krishna Yajurveda is mostly common in Southern India, in Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Karnataka, in those places. In fact, Isavasya Upanishad is called Mantropanishad. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. And Isavasyam is called Mantropanishad and Brihadaranyakam is called Brahmanopanishad. These are all various terms. So generally, Brahmanopanishad will be in the form of a commentary upon the Mantropanishad. So Veda itself is commenting. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also is in the Vedas. This Isavasya Upanishad also is in the Vedas. So Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a commentary on Isopanishad. So the commentary of Isavasya Upanishad is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad is supposed to be Mantropanishad similarly, and Prashnopanishad is supposed to be Brahmanopanishad, a commentary on Mundaka Upanishad. So this is the conventional scheme in the nomenclature of these Upanishads and their construct. And all Shukla Yajurveda Upanishads, they all have the same Shanti Mantra when they begin with, which is Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. The mantra that I recite every day, that is the mantra, even every lecture, that is the mantra, that is a Shanti Mantra, that is there in all the Upanishads belonging to the Shukla Yajurveda. Now let us take the Shanti Pata of this Upanishad and try to understand the meaning of this Shanti Mantra. We will not discuss the purpose of Shanti Pata etc. here, because I covered them in detail when we discussed Katopanishad and also Taittiriya Upanishad. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. So the Upanishad begins with this Shanti Mantra. As I told, all the Shukla Yajurveda Upanishads will have the same Shanti Mantra. And Shankaracharya did not write a commentary separately on this mantra in this Upanishad. He didn't write a separate commentary. However, a commentary is available for this in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And this mantra occurs as part of the Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad itself, in the fifth chapter, the first, very first mantra of the fifth chapter is this particular mantra. So based on the commentary given there, let us summarize the meaning here. Let us borrow the commentary given by the Acharya in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad and use it to understand the Shanti Mantra here. In this mantra, the word adaha, purna madaha, the word adaha, that refers to Ishwaraha. Because adaha refers to paroksha vishaya. Paroksha vishaya means it's not obvious, it is hidden, it's a secret. And paroksha vishaya is tat shabdarthaha, which is Ishwara. In tatvamasi, tat tvam asi, tat refers to Ishwaraha. So tat shabdarthaha means the meaning of the term tat is Ishwaraha in tatvamasi, and here adaha refers to Ishwaraha. So adaha purnam, purnamadam, purnamadaha means adaha purnam means Ishwara tatvam purnam. Purnam means infinite, it is complete. So the Ishwara tatvam is complete. Purnam idam, purnamadaha, purnam idam. Idam refers to aparoksha tatvam. As Ishwaraha refers to paroksha tattvam, here this refers to aparoksha tattvam, and that is nothing but jiva. The jiva, the individual, is referred by purnam, that idam, purnam idam. So idam purnam means jiva tattvam purnam. There we said Ishwara tattvam purnam. Here jiva tattvam purnam, it is also infinite, it is complete. We are adding the term tattvam here because purnam is a little grammar, purnam is neuter gender. So we have to say jivaha purnaha, and jivaha purnam is not grammatically that sound. So the safe method is add one term tattvam. So jiva tattvam purnam and Ishwara tattvam purnam. Now the question will be, how can there be two purna vastus? You cannot have two infinities. There is only one infinity. How can you have two infinities? So, if there are two things, then each one should limit the other. Each one cannot be infinite by themselves. One should, if two are there, one should be definitely limiting the other. So, it is logically impossible. And still what the Shastra says? Shastra Pramanam says both are there. And the only way by which these two sentences can be justified should be Ishwara tattvam, jiva tattvam cha, ekam abhinnam eva. This is the Mahavakyam. The Ishwara tattvam and jiva tattvam should be one and the same. If Ishwara jiva yor madhye bedaha syat, tarhi ubayoho api purnatvam katanchit api na sangachedaha. It's a question. When purnatvam purnam sangamaniyam, tarhi ekaha eva margaha vartate. There is only one way if both of them have to be purnaha. Ishwara, jishwara jivau, jiva ishwarau abhinnau. There should be no difference between these two. Then the question is, how can Ishwara and jiva can be one and the same? So based on the previous discussion, both are infinite. We said they both should be same. And now the question is, how can they be same? Because the word adaha and the word idam, they indicate parokshatvam and aparokshatvam respectively. Sarvajnyatvam and alpajnyatvam. Ishwara is sarvajnyaha, the one who is the one omniscient, the one who knows everything, sarvajnyaha. And the jiva is alpajnyaha, he is not sarvajnyaha, he doesn't know everything like the Ishwara. So, we have all these contradictions, then how they can be one and the same? Ishwara and Jiva can be one and the same, how is it possible? Because the word Adaha and Idaha, Idam indicate Parokshatvam and Aparokshatvam. So many contradictions are there, and only way to solve this problem is to take the Lakshyartham of these two words. For any word, there could be two meanings. One is the vachyartham, the literal meaning, and lakshyartham, the implied meaning. For example, if I go to a restaurant with a friend and I ask for a cup of coffee and I get a cup of coffee and my friend says, I also want a cup. When the waiter understands that he also wants a cup of coffee, he doesn't bring an empty cup. So when he says cup, the lakshyartham, the implied meaning is a cup of coffee. So for everything, every word, there could be a literal meaning and there could be an implied meaning also. So if we take the lakshyartham of these two words, which is Chaitanyam, which is Brahman. For both the words Adaha and Idam, the implied meaning is Chaitanyam. That is, Ishvara Chaitanya Tattvam Purnam. Adaha Purna means Ishvara Chaitanya Tattvam Purnam. And Idam Purnam also, that means Jiva Chaitanya Tattvam also Purnam. Then there will be no contradiction. So if you look at the Ishvara Chaitanya and the Jiva Chaitanya, then there is no contradiction at all. So the final meaning will be Adaha. Adaha means Tatpada Lakshyartaha Purnam. Tatpada Lakshyartaha means the implied meaning of the term Tat in Tattvamasi. In Tattvamasi, Tat refers to Ishwaraha or Chaitanyam, Brahman. So the implied meaning of the word Tat, of the term Tat, is Purnam. And Idam refers to Tvampada Lakshyartaha Purnam. So the implied meaning of the term Tvam, that is the Lakshyartaha, is also Purnam, complete. So if you say in other words, Adaha refers to the Nirupadika Ishwaraha Purnam and Idam refers to the Nirupadika Jivaha Purnam. Now, some of you may not be familiar with the term Nirupadika and Sopadika and all that, because we covered those terms in detail in our previous Upanishad lectures and also in Tattvabodha also. And Upadi means medium. Sopadika means along with medium. Nirupadika means without medium. For example, when we talk about Jivatma, then the Atma Chaitanyam and the body-mind complex. The body-mind complex serve as the medium for manifesting the Chaitanyam. So it is Sopadika Chaitanyam is along with the medium. Same, Ishvara along with Maya is Sopadika Ishvara. So Ishvara, the Brahman Maya couple, is Sopadika Ishvara, the along with Upadi. Upadi is the medium. Nirupadika means the Chaitanyam by itself. Chaitanyam is Nirupadika. So Sopadika Chaitanyam and along with Maya, Nirupadika Chaitanyam without Maya. So that is how we should understand. So the body-mind complex, that is the medium for the Jivatma. So for the Jiva, along with the body-mind complex, that is Sopadika Jiva. So Sopadika Chaitanyam is Jiva. Jiva Chaitanyam. So Ishwaraha Purnaha Nirupadika Drishtya. So from the angle of Nirupadika Drishti, without medium, from the vision of no medium, means no Maya, without association of Maya, Ishwara is Purnaha. Jivaha Purnaha Nirupadika Drishtya also. The Jivatma, Jiva also, without the body-mind complex, the Chaitanyam part of it, that is also Purnaha, that is also complete, and both of them are one and the same. So Ishwaraha plus Upadi Maya, and here in this case Jiva plus Upadi body mind complex. Once you remove the Upadi, both of them are Chaitanyam eva. Only Chaitanyam only. So Nirupadika Drishti is over, Lakshyartha Drishti is over. From this, in this discussion, both the angles have been already covered now. So from the angle of Lakshyartha, the implied meaning, and also the Nirupadika Drishti from the vision of no medium. Both are one and the same. It is only Chaitanya. Now we have to come to the Sopadika Vakyartha Drishti. So we have now taken the Lakshyartha Drishti. Now let us go to the Sopadika Vakyartha Drishti. From the literal meaning of the word, along with the Upadis, the medium. In the next part of the mantra. And the medium and all, I'm not discussing too much right now because it's already taught, but just for the benefit of those who might not have perhaps heard those lectures, Upadi is the medium in which the Chaitanyam would manifest. For example, if you take an electric bulb, if you think of electricity as Chaitanyam, the electricity can manifest in a bulb as light bulb. But if the bulb is a good bulb, then it can manifest. But if the bulb is a fused bulb, then it won't manifest. Not that electricity is not there. Electricity is present all the time. But the bulb is incapable of manifesting electricity. That is, the bulb is not the medium. It is a problem of the medium. Similarly, with the a body and a dead body, a live body and a dead body. In a live body, the Chaitanya manifests. In the dead body, the body lost its ability to manifest Chaitanyam. So that is the difference. So Sopadika, Upadhi means the medium. Sopadika means along with Upadhi, and Nirupadika means without Upadhi, without the medium. Now, Purnat, Purnam Udachyate. If you take the next part of the mantra, Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, we have seen that. Now, Purnat, Purnam Udachyate. Purna Ishwarat, Purna Jivaha Udbhavati. That's what it says. Out of the Purna Ishwara, out of the Ishwara who is Purnaha, which is complete and infinite, Purna Jiva is born. That's what this statement says. But here also there will be a contradiction. How can Purnam ever have birth? Purnam, how, it is Purnaha. How can it ever have birth? And that too from another Purnam. It's not at all possible. So it is here also we have to carefully interpret the particular sentence, because Vakyartham does not work. The literal meaning alone, if you take, it will not work. So we say Sopadika Ishwarat, that means the Brahman Maya coupled, Sopadika Ishwarat, Sopadika Jivaham Udachyate. The Jiva with the body mind complex that comes out because of Pramdim Ishwara Maya coupled. So Brahman Maya coupled with the medium. So Purnat Ishwarat. Purnaha Jivaha Udachyate Upadhi Drishtya. From the angle of Upadhi, the medium, from the Purna Ishwara, the Purna Jiva is born. So Swataha Purnat Ishwarat, Swataha Purnaha Jivaha Katam Jayate. How that is possible? How it can be born? Upadhi Drishtya Jayate. From the angle of medium, that is possible. What is the example for that? Mahakashat Gatakasha Utpatyavat. The Mahakasha, the space that is there prevalent everywhere. And you have got a part. And inside the part, there is a part space. So from the Mahakasha, from the larger space, the part space is born. Just as the part space is born, out of the total space, how? Upadhi Drishtya. Before the part was there, it was all one space. Now we call the space part space because of what? The medium part. Because of the medium part, we gave the name, it is part space. So actually, as I told, the Upadhi Drishti and all, we don't have to go too much into detail because please refer to previous lectures. But this is the basic idea. So Tatpada Vachyarthatim Twampada Vakyartaha Udachyate. So from the literal meaning of the term Tatim, the literal meaning for the word Tvam, that comes about. So Sopatika Ishwarate, Sopatika Jivaha Udachyate. So the Ishwara with medium, Brahman Maya coupled, and the Jiva with the body mind complex, that comes about. Then the second line is what? The Upanishad wants to show that the Upadhi, the medium, namely the body mind complex, is Mithya. This is the next concept. It is Mithya. How does it show that? Purnasya. Purnasya means Sopatika Jivasya. The Jiva with all the medium, body, mind, complex and all that. Purnam Adaya. Purna Chaitanyam Adaya. Adaya means separating. So when the Sopatika Jivasya, from the Jiva along with all the body, mind, complex, that is Chaitanyam plus body, mind, complex, that Jiva, remove the Chaitanyam, separating the Chaitanyam, Purna Chaitanyam Adaya. When you separate the Purna Upahita Chaitanyam, the Chaitanyam part, and Upahita means what? That which is connected with the Upadhi, the medium, is called Upahitam. That which is connected with the Upadhi. So, Atma is called Upahitam, and Anatma, body, is called Upadhi. Atma is Upahitam, and Anatma is called Upadhi. So, Shariram is Upadhi, the body is Upadhi, and Shariri or Dehi is Upahitam. We are familiar with all these terms, both from the Bhagavad Gita lectures and also from our other Upanishad lectures. So when you separate Shariri, the Chaitanyam, the Purna Chaitanyam, from the Purna Jivaha, that is the Sopadika Jivaha, what must normally remain? For example, if you take an example, X plus Y minus X should be what? Y only. X plus Y minus X should be Y. Similarly, ఉపహితం ప్లస్ ఉపాధి మైనస్ ఉపహితం షుడ్ బి ఉపాధి. ఉపాధి మస్ట్ బి లెఫ్ట్ అవుట్. దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ అవర్ ఈక్వేషన్ షుడ్ సే. బట్ ద ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ ఉపహితం ప్లస్ ఉపాధి మైనస్ ఉపహితం ఇస్ జీరో, ఇట్స్ నథింగ్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ సేస్. ఉపహితం ప్లస్ ఉపాధి మైనస్ ఉపహితం ఇస్ జీరో. ఉపాధి కెనాట్ బి లెఫ్ట్ బికాస్ నార్మల్లీ షుడ్ బి వాట్? ఉపహితం ప్లస్ ఉపాధి మైనస్ ఉపహితం షుడ్ బి ఉపాధి అకార్డింగ్ టు ది ఈక్వేషన్. బట్ ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ కరెక్ట్, ఇట్ ఇస్ జీరో, నథింగ్ ఇస్ లెఫ్ట్. బికాస్ ఉపాధి కెనాట్ బి లెఫ్ట్ బిహైండ్ బికాస్ ఉపాధి కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఉపహితం చైతన్యం. ది మీడియం కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ ది చైతన్యం. సో ఆత్మ ప్లస్ అనాత్మ మైనస్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ ఈక్వల్ టు, వి మే ఫీల్ లైక్ సేయింగ్ వాట్? అనాత్మ. ఆత్మ ప్లస్ అనాత్మ మైనస్ ఆత్మ, వి విల్ ఫీల్ లైక్ సేయింగ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అనాత్మ. బట్ ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నథింగ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ జీరో, టు షో దాట్ అనాత్మ కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ. సో దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్. అనాత్మ కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ. దట్ మీన్స్ వాట్? అనాత్మ హ్యాస్ గాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. దట్ మీన్స్ అనాత్మ ఈస్ మిథ్యా. It appears as though real, but it is not real. It is mithya. Now, if you look at the second line, Purnasya Purnam Adaya. So, Sopadika Ishwarasya, Purnasya here refers to Sopadika Jivasya, along with the Upadi, along with the medium, the Jivatma. Purnam, Purnam refers to Purna Upahitam Amsham Adaya. When you separate, Purnam Yeva Avasishyate, పూర్ణ ఉపహితం అంశం ఏవ తిష్టతి, దాట్ అలోన్ రిమైన్స్. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ రిమూవ్ ఇట్, దాట్ అలోన్. సో ఉపాధి నైవ తిష్టతి, ఉపాధి ఇస్ నాట్ దేర్, ఉపాధి ఇస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ సెపరేట్లీ బికాస్ ద మీడియం కెనాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ సెపరేట్లీ. సో ఉపాధి ఇస్ మిథ్యా, ద మీడియం ఇస్ మిథ్యా, బాడీ మైండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్ ఇస్ మిథ్యా, మాయా ఇస్ మిథ్యా, ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ డూ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ అట్ ఆల్, దే ఆర్ నాట్ రియల్. So, Brahma Satyam Jagad Mithya Jeevo Brahmaiva Naparaha. So, different meanings are also given for this mantra. Actually, this is the essence of the Shanti Mantra, the Purna Mantra. That Shanti Mantra, this is the essence of that mantra. Different interpreters have given other meanings also for this, but this is what Shankaracharya gives in his Brihadaranyaka Upanishad commentary. And that's what I have given the summary here, even though more details are given in the actual commentary. And the Shanti, Shanti Mantra is repeated 3 times. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. We have already given all the reasons why it is repeated 3 times. We don't have to say all this. The Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika, Adhidaivika. All these 3 types of Shantis one needs. Adhyatmika means all those obstacles that could be created by myself. I may, for example, I want to come to the lecture. I may have a fever. I may have some other inconvenience myself. They are all related to me, Adhyatmika. And Adhibhautika, for example, I may get into the car and want to come to the lecture someplace, but my car may break down, there could be a lot of traffic on the way, it could be so many other things. So that is an obstacle because of Bhautika, all the surroundings and other parameters. And Adhidaivika, there could be parameters from, for example, it might rain, there could be a thunderstorm, there could be lightning, there could be so many other things which may cause an obstacle for in the pursuit of anything. So 3 types of tapas, this is called tapatrayas. 3 types of tapas, obstacles and all those things can arise when in any pursuit for anybody. So one now prays for peace between among all these things so that no obstacle would create any hindrance for this person to pursue this study. Here the pursuit is what? Study of Isavasya Upanishad. So the Shanti Mantra is essentially to pray for being able to complete this study without any obstacle. And in this particular thing, this is, you know, if you particularly in this context, it is needed when you read this particular Shanti Mantra, because people might think, if this is what Vedanta is about, what it says now, this is whole, that is whole, from this whole, that whole came, and when you remove this whole, from that whole alone remains. Nobody can make out of anything, make anything out of this statement. This is what this particular mantra says. So, if this is what, if somebody has to think that this is what Vedanta is going to be, then he will definitely pray many times so that he will be either able to understand this or will not go through this difficulty of trying to understand this. So, let me not be disturbed after hearing this mantra. This mantra seems to be so complex. So, let me not be disturbed anymore. Even after hearing this, let me continue the study without any obstacles. That is the prayer by the Shanti Mantra. And according to the shloka, they have got a shloka where they mention all the 10 Upanishads, major Upanishads, for which Adi Shankaracharya has written the commentaries. And Swami Dayananda Saraswati, he never starts with Isavasya Upanishad at all. He starts with several other Upanishads, essentially because even though it's a short Upanishad containing only 18 mantras, but still the way, the complexity of understanding some of these concepts that might discourage perhaps a new learner. That is why they don't start this first. Even though in all the, you know, Padashalas and when the Shastri, when he tries to learn these things in Vedanta, they learn this thing in that order. Isha, Kena, Kato, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Tirihi, Aitreyancha, Chandogyam, Brahataranyakam, Tatha. That is the shloka. So, Isha Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Kato Upanishad, Prashna Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, Aitreya Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. These are the 10 major Upanishads for which Adi Shankaracharya has given elaborate commentaries. So it starts with Isavasyam only, but traditionally for the Upanishad study in among Padashala people and also the Shastris and all Vedantins, they try to start from Isa Upanishad. But Swamiji makes an exception for our sake so that we don't get discouraged in learning this particular Upanishad. Now let us go to the first mantra of this Upanishad. Isavasyamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagatyam jagate tena tyaktena bunjitaha magrita kasya svidhanam. So it's a simple mantra. And it's a, because it starts with Isavasyam, as I mentioned earlier, that is how the Upanishad got the name Isavasya Upanishad. And Shankaracharya, he begins with an avatharika bhashyam. Avatharika, an introductory bhashyam. And before going to that commentary, let us get some picture of the discussion that is going to come. And we said this Upanishad is a mantropanishad earlier. That means what? It comes under the karmakanda portion. It should. It's a mantra portion. Therefore, karmakanda people, they try to take it as part of karmakanda itself. Whereas the Vedantins, they want to establish that the Upanishad comes under jnanakanda. So that not even any trace of karma is seen. It is purely jnanam and jnanadeva kaivalyam. Nothing to do with any karma, rituals or anything. That's what the Vedantin wants to interpret. So, Jnanakanda is a prithak shastram for us. It's an independent shastram. But the Karmakandis, they try to connect it to karma. Karma means rituals. Connecting a portion of karma is, you know, a portion of the Upanishad to karma is called what? Karma Seshatvam. Karma Seshatvam, often used by Acharya in his interpretations. We should not look at the meaning of Sesha in dictionary, because Sesha in dictionary, it would mean whatever is left over. So there is nothing left over of karma here. Here seshaha means sambandha, relationship. So karma seshaha means karma sambandha. So karmakandis, they try to see Isavasya Upanishad as karma seshaha, whereas Shankaracharya in his avatharika, what he says, he refutes this idea and establishes the karma seshata nasti. It is not karma seshaha, karma sambandha nasti. There is no karma sambandha at all. There is no ritual or action involved in this at all. And this he establishes by using some of the concepts of Purva Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa deals with karmakanda. Uttara Mimamsa deals with jnanakanda. So Purva Mimamsa Shastra, he uses it to communicate this idea. In the Purva Mimamsa Shastra, to determine how a thing
or a mantra, a material, or a person, or a devata is connected with the ritual, either as karta, the doer, or the karma action itself, or the karana, the instruments, or some sampradana, the devatas and all that things. For that, they have got a method. In what way any particular thing is connected to a ritual, that is determined by using different pramanas. They use 6 pramanas for that. Not the pratyaksha, anumana, those kind of pramanas. The Purva Mimamsa Sastra that uses Shruti Pramana, Linga Pramana, Vakya Pramana, Prakarana Pramana, Sthana Pramana, and Samakhyana Pramana. There are 6 pramanas they use. And the Shruti Pramana is that statement in the Vedas that it determines how a particular mantra should be used in a ritual. That is given in the Vedas itself, in the Shruti. For example, they give the example of Ishetva Iti Chinatti. The Veda mantra says that the Ishetva mantra should be used while cutting the grass or cutting the branch of a tree. They have to use this mantra. You should not ask why and all. This is what Upanishad says. One has to use the mantra Ishet Urjetva Vayavasto Vayavasta Devopasavita Prarpayatu Sreshtatamaya Karmane. So that is the mantra they have to use. Here, we need not have any controversy because the Shruti Veda itself tells us to use this mantra for that particular karma, for that action. This is called Shruti Pramana. And there is another method called Linga Pramana, in that the Shruti will not directly say where the mantra should be used, but by seeing the meaning of the mantra, we can understand. For example, Artha Samarthyat. Nyayate, the meaning of this mantra, one should look at it and use it properly. That pramana is called Linga Pramana. For example, they say, Barhir Deva Sadhanam Dhami, which literally means, I am preparing the altar for a ritual. That's what I am doing. Now, the Veda does not say where and when this mantra should be used. But if you really look at the meaning, we ourselves can find where and when it should be used. When we say, I am offering the oblation to Agni Devata, when will you chant this mantra? Only when we offer the oblation. So, without the Shruti telling us, one arrives at the usage application by knowing the meaning. That is called Linga Pramana. Shankaracharya says, you do not have Shruti Pramanam or Linga Pramanam or any of the Pramanam to establish that Isavasya Upanishad is part of a ritual. So he discounts the claim that Isavasya belongs to the Karmakanda portion. So there are more details on that discussion, which I am not going to go through here, because they are all for people who are really learning the Bhashyas, the commentaries. It will be more important for them to know all those details in the discussion. So it is adequate for us just to know, even though this is called the Mantropanishad, even though the Karmakandis tried to make it belong to the Karmakanda portion, Shankaracharya systematically disputes and then he refutes all that and says this belongs to the Jnanakanda portion only. So, Isavasya Upanishad, so either by Shruti Pramanaha Nasti and Linga Pramanam Nasti, Arthavada also Api Nasti. There are all various ways by which he refutes and then says this belongs to the Jnanakanda portion only. And now let us enter into the actual sloka that we just read, the mantra, first mantra. And before we go into the full meaning of this, let us first see the construct of this Upanishad. There are only 18 mantras in this Upanishad. This is a short and small Upanishad, but in terms of its meaning, very dense in its meaning and very, very extremely nice Upanishad. Of these 18 mantras, the first 2 mantras, they give the essence of the entire Upanishad. Once we understand the first 2 mantras, we don't have to see anything else. That is the entire essence of the Upanishad. So, Sutra Bhuta Mantra. So, these are all Sutra Bhuta, which gives the essence in a nutshell. Like the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If one goes to the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the entire Bhagavad Gita is covered there. And the later portion, Mantras 3 to 18, that is only a commentary upon these 2 mantras. The first 2 mantras gives the essence of the full Upanishad.
And mantras 3 to 18, they give the commentary of the two mantras. And there also, mantras 3 to 8, we get the commentary for the first mantra. And mantras 9 through 18 give the commentary for the second mantra. So the first two are Sankshepa and the remaining 16 are Vistara. So in these two mantras, we find three main topics are discussed here. First topic is the primary aim of the seeker, namely self-knowledge. That is the aim, that is the goal. So, Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam, Tattva Jnanam, whatever we want to call, that is the primary aim. And this end can be achieved by following two different lifestyles. One lifestyle is a sannyasa marga or nivritti marga. And the second way is grahastha marga or pravritti marga. Through both, one can attain this goal. But whatever be the lifestyle, the goal must be to get jnanam, self-knowledge. Jnanam means self-knowledge. As in the Gita, yaha sankhyair prapyate jnanam tat yogair api gamyate. Sankhyancha yogancha yaha pasyati saha pasyati. That's what he says, Krishna says there. So either follow sankhya marga or sannyasi lifestyle or yoga marga, grahastha lifestyle, you have to still go through the jnana marga, namely shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, Vedanta shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. This jnanam is presented here as inner renunciation. This knowledge is presented here as inner renunciation. Everyone has to come to inner renunciation. That is the essence of this particular mantra. So jnanam, pravritti marga and nivritti marga are the three topics. Now the next question is, what is the jnanam to be gained? What is the knowledge that one has to gain? That is beautifully presented here as that there is no world other than Ishvara. In our system, we don't have one God, we have only God. There is no world other than Ishvara. That means Ishvara alone is appearing as the world, otherwise called Brahman or Paramatma. The Paramatma or Brahman or Ishvara alone appears as the world. That means if a person understands Paramatma, in his vision, there is no world at all. This is how we can interpret that particular statement. If a person understands Paramatma, in his vision, in his drishti, there is no world. And how can you come to this recognition of Paramatma? By only one method as given in the Shastras. There is only one method given in the Shastras. That is knowing that Paramatma or Ishvara is the cause, the Karanam. Jagat Karanam Brahma. Jagat Karanam. Karanam also both the Upadana Karanam, the material cause and the instrumental cause, Nimitta Karanam. Both Ishvara alone. And also understanding that the whole universe is effect. The cause, the Karanam is Ishvara. And the whole universe is the effect, the karyam. So, Brahma karanam, cause, jagat karyam, effect. Then, cause-effect law has to be applied. There is no effect separate from the cause. There are no ornaments separate from gold. There are no parts separate from clay. There is no wave separate from water. So, there is no karyam separate from karanam. Karyam is effect, karanam is cause. There is no karyam separate from karanam. So, karanam, karyam is not a substance. It is only a name and form used for the sake of transaction. The karanam itself is called by different names. It is ornament, it is ring, it is bangle, it is necklace. All those are different names for the same goal. So, any effect has got only a verbal existence. So, vacharambanam, vikaro namadeyam. That is what they say. It is only the various names. Similarly, the whole world, if you take the word world and remove the letter L, what remains is only word. It is only word. Nama rupa only. Nama matram jagat. If you remove L, that's what happens. So the whole world is mithya, is nothing but nam-matram. So what is the tangibility, the substantiality, etc.? It all belongs to the cause, namely the Brahman or Ishvara. All of them belong to Brahman or Ishvara. So whenever I see a pot, I am really seeing clay only. Whenever we see, whenever we hear, whenever we do anything, they are all Brahman only. That should be the understanding. So all the time we are experiencing Brahman only and not the world. So Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agno, Brahma Nahutam, Brahma Vetena Gandhavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina, Brahma Karma Samadhina, that's what Krishna said. So only difference in names and forms. Once this understanding comes, the vision of the jnani changes. So Karana Drishti displaces or eliminates Karya Drishti. Ishvara Drishti removes the Jagat Drishti. So the Upanishad advises, now you are absorbed in the Jagat, in this world, and you are missing Ishvara because of that. Isha Idagam Sarvam Vasyam. Vasyam means Achadaniyam. The entire world should be eliminated, displaced. How? Isha, by the vision of Ishvara. Karana Drishtiya Ityartaha. So Idam Karyam Jagat, this effect, this world, Karana Drishtiya, from the angle of the Karanam, the cause, Badaniyam, this effectual universe should be displaced by the causal vision. Just the pot is displaced by clay angle, clay vision. This displacement is nothing but what? Mithyatva Nischayaha. So the firm confirmation of Mithya. So Vasyam means Mithyatvena Nischetavyam. So reduce the word into a mere Namarupa. The world is made into a Namarupa. What type of world it is? Idam Jagate Yatkincha Jagatyam. Whatever be there, without any exception, Idam Sarvam Jagate. Jagat can be taken as any object, anything or being. Anything or being in this universe should be displaced by Ishvara Drishti, the vision of Ishvara. And this is called renunciation through knowledge. Renunciation of pot by knowing the clay. I have given up pot. How? By saying that there is only clay and no pot. Renunciation of any effect takes place by knowing the cause. This is called Jnana Janita Sanyasaha or Vidvat Sanyasaha or inner renunciation, a renunciation which is purely a result of knowledge. There is no need to go to Rishikesh and all those places where saffron clothes, all reciting all those mantras. There is no need for any of them. Then what is the benefit that I get out of this inner renunciation? He says, Tena Tyaktena Bunjita. Here Tyaktena means Tyagena. By that inner renunciation of the world, which is born out of pure wisdom, pure knowledge, by knowing Ishvara as Brahman or Brahman, Bunjita. May you save yourself from samsara. It has to be understood. Samsara should be understood. So, tena tektena, mityatva nischayena, Bunjita. May you save yourself. The next question is, why do we say that we should save ourselves from by dismissing the world as mithya? Because as long as the world is not understood as mithya, so long the world will continue to terrorize me. Yadahe vaishaye tasminnu daramantaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati. Taittiriya Upanishad said, as long as there is a world different from me, it is going to frighten me. Like the dream world which is created by me, it is nightmarish. To get out of the fear of dream, we have to give up the dream by only one method, that is what? To wake up. The dream is dismissed. Similarly, as long as the Dvaita Prapancha or Veda Prapancha is there, it is going to create fear in me. So we have to dismiss the Dvaita Prapancha or this Mithya Prapancha. This is called Tena Tyaktena. Tena Dvaita Prapancha Mithyatva Nischayena. By the firm conviction that this Dvaita Prapancha is Mithya. Bunjita, attain moksha. So the entire Vedanta is over in this first 1.5 lines. And what is our aim? Dismiss the world by knowing that there is no world other than God, and by dismissing the world, may you save yourself, called Jivan Muktaha, that is called Jivan Mukti. With this, the end has been presented. And here on, the topic will be presenting the means. So the end is presented, what is the goal is presented. Now the means, that is going to be presented. Then, how to do that? How can I discover this fact that there is no world other than Brahman? How do I discover that fact? The Upanishad says that it is a long pursuit of Vedantam, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. So, seeing Brahman as the essence of the world is not that easy. So, you need Shravanam and Nididhyasanam, which requires Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, which requires all our Karma Yoga, Upasana, all those things are needed. It is a huge project. And these sadhanas, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, can be practiced by following two different lifestyles. Again, it is your choice. One, exclusively dedicating the life for Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam is called the Sannyasa Ashrama. One can become a sannyasi, where one is free from all responsibilities. No position, no money, none of those. It's called Nivritti Marga. Or the other one is called Grahastha Ashrama, which is presented here, both. So, Ma grita kasya swiddhanam, kasya swiddhanam. May you not seek gritaha. Gritaha means may you not have any wants, any desires, any plans, hopes for so many things. May you not have any of those. Kasya swiddhanam. It's a question. So, what is the use of all this wealth? It's a sense of denial. Dhanam means security here, wealth or possession from any source. What is the use of any of them? So, ma gritaha means aparigraha. Aparigraha means, you know, means sannyasa. Don't possess any of them. So, may you take to sannyasa ashrama known as vividisha sannyasa. So, this is presented as a means, a lifestyle where he can dedicate for getting Ishvara drishti sarvatra. He will get Ishvara drishti in all, in and through everything. So, yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati, as said in Gita. So, one means for that vision, one way for that vision is Nivritti Marga or Sannyasa Marga. To get out of the worldly transactions and then remain in seclusion and pursue that particular path. Now, the question is, how can all the people take to Sannyasa? All people cannot take to Sannyasa. Even though it looks easy, it is a very, very difficult thing to practice. To practice Sannyasa is very, very difficult. As Krishna says in the 5th chapter, Sannyasa, Sannyasastu Mahabaho Dukkamaptum Ayogataha. If the human mind is not ready for Sannyasi, it will be a problem. It is Dukkamaptum Ayogataha. For a person who is not qualified, it is not going to be easy for him at all. So, there should be an alternative method that is called Pravritti Marga, that is given in the second mantra, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Shri Krishna. Namaste.